County Board of Commissioners. Delighted that all of you could join us here in person and those by Zoom as well. Welcome, everyone. First of all, we're going to have our roll call, and starting with Commissioner Robinson.
Commissioner Robinson, present.
Commissioner Trent, present.
Commissioner Wesson, present.
Commissioner Michael White, present.
And Commissioner Ballas is on the way. It's detained just a little bit, but he will be here shortly, but we're going to move on. I'm going to ask Commissioner Trent if he would lead us in the Pledge of Allegiance and the invocation.
We'll do the invocation first.
Okay.
Our Lord, Heavenly Father, please thank for the day that we have had today, the meeting that we're in, the citizens that are here, the progress that we have made, the agendas that we approve, and the movement forward of Bertie County. Please bless the people who work for Bertie County and our citizens who follow us, and we turn around to make our county move forward. For God's sakes, amen.
Amen.
I pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America and to the republic for which it stands, one nation, under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all.
Thank you, Commissioner Trent.
Yep.
Thank you very much, sir. Before I ask for public comments and invite citizens to make those comments if there are any, one of the things we always want to do at the beginning of our meeting is to announce that there is, in fact, a conflict of interest document, general statute that as commissioners and elected officials that we have to adhere to. And it simply says that if there is a conflict of interest or a perceived conflict, we must announce that conflict at the beginning of our meeting. And so I want to open up the floor to any commissioner who has a conflict of interest or a real conflict or even a perceived conflict of interest.
Commissioner Robinson, none.
I'd like to announce that I do, in fact, in this meeting, have a conflict of interest, or perceived conflict at least, and as the vice chair, Michael White, because we are both serving on a board that has a matter coming before this board tonight, so we will not be a part of that vote. It is an interesting matter, and that matter that I think is going to be very timely for us, but Mike and I will not be able to participate in that, okay? So, hearing no other, we will go on with our public comments. Any public comments this morning? Michael?
Good afternoon, County Commissioners. I am pleased to be in front of you once again. And the last time I was here, I asked for a letter of, a recommendation or request to go to Sherwin-Williams. Well, at that time, that letter was received by them, but however, they did not wish to develop my product at that time. So I am back to ask again for a different letter or the same letter to go to Lowe's and Home Depot. In essence, basically asking the exact same thing, just to go to two different corporations.
And so, Mike, let me be clear. You're asking for that same letter, all connected with your patent on the paintbrush. Is that correct?
Yeah.
That's sir. The matter, solely that matter to those of the two companies.
Yes,
correct?
Sir. Yes, okay. Sir.
Well, Ward, we did approve that, and Juan did send that for the one. What is your pleasure?
I'll make a motion. We move forward.
Second. Commissioner Trent and Commissioner Robinson, second. All those in favor, please say aye.
Aye.
All those opposed? Ayes have it. Right, we will do that. Juan, if you would do that same letter of reference that we could send out, we'd be happy to do it, Mike. Good luck. You've been at this a long time, my friend.
Thank you very much.
Thank you. Any other? Chief?
Good evening, Commissioners.
Good evening.
My name is Randy Cherry. I'm a resident of Bertie County, and I've come to ask you guys for some support on the Juneteenth celebration. As you know, this is the third year of our Juneteenth celebration. I am the chairperson, but this year, Chief, along with the American Veterans Post 103, are partnering to head it up. Okay, we have a committee that's planning, in the process of planning everything. I've come to ask you guys for sponsorship. All right, and sponsorship, I have a form, and there's different levels of sponsorship. I could leave that with the with someone, and whatever you'll decide, I would really appreciate that.
Chief, you know my feelings on June 10th. Personally support it, will support this year again. But it is my responsibility to say to the board, we do have a policy in place that we passed several years ago that locked our contributions, if you will, to nonprofits to the ones that we had approved a defined list. I think that was made by one of the commissioners no longer here for a second and has been our policy. Now, this board has the authority to do what it pleases, but I just want you to know that several other organizations have come before us in this year that we denied based on that policy. So it's just our responsibility to remind you that this is what we did deny others who came before us. So, but we have the ability, and I certainly support Juneteenth strongly, but I just want you to make sure you understand that. So,
Chief.
Yes, sir.
As a citizen of Bertie County and a business owner of about 8 companies, leave me one of those forms so I can sponsor this thing for you.
Yes, sir.
Okay. I've sponsored numerous things in this county. The law enforcement initiative program at the high school, my company wrote a check for $5,000 to it. For the Bertie Elementary School in West Bertie County, my company wrote a $2,500 check for that, for bullying kids. All I need to do is give it to my wife. That's it. So just give me a copy of it. I'd be more than glad to help you out.
Yes, sir.
Okay. Chief, and you know, I feel the same way. I'd be more than happy what I could have in the past. So, but as a board, the question was that, you know, we have to respond to this on the record. What is your feeling about this, whether or not this board, the county, should make a contribution?
What's the sponsorship, Chief? Like, what's the base level that you're?
The levels goes from $50 up to $500. 500 being the platinum. And also, if either way, whether you approve or disapprove, is there a process to have this on the budget for, so every year it could be something that the county does?
Yes, and that's the key. Yes, we're going to be in budget, you know, for in the next month or so, which is next year's budget. We can amend the record. There's a defined list. I don't know how many, that's not a long list, about 8 or 9 that were approved several years ago. We have not diverted from that list, but we can, in a new budget, make a change there. And I think that this is one that we should consider. And I think there are a couple of others that we might want to consider that we did not okay in this last year. So I would say the yes to that. So we'll make sure, and county manager, could you make sure that we take that up at budget time? But still, board, we do need to decide what we're going to do about the request for this year. What is your pleasure?
Well, Chief, I'm going to support donation. I'm gonna donate funds from my businesses. I own 3 businesses.
Understand.
You know, at this time, and let's put it on the agenda, my board. I mean, let's put it on the study as we do our budget for next year, and then it won't be a conflict. But at this present time and today, you're still going to get where you come from Ron, John, and whoever.
I was saying, Chief, I don't own zero businesses.
Chief, I'll be honest with you. You probably just made more money right here. You just made more money that way, okay?
So we'll study for next year, Chief. Appreciate it. So it'll be my pleasure that we are denying the request that Chief may ask this time and then put up there, but
I think I did something for the bus garage for him one time. Went up there to Rich Square Market and wanted turkeys for everybody. Went up there. I went up there with $900-something worth of turkeys. I bought all the bus drivers and all that and brought them back over there to him.
Right.
And dropped them up. So you know what?
You've heard the recommendation from Commissioner Robinson. I'm going to second that. Chief, trust me.
I understand.
You will get more this board than you would have got just from the county, and I assure you that. And Juneteenth is an important celebration. We all support it. We have a policy in place, but we're going to revisit that policy for the new year. I assure you that.
All right. Thank you, guys. Hey,
thanks so
thanks,
much.
Thanks, bud.
Great. Any others? Let's give him applause now, right? Mr. Balasko.
Thank you.
Okay. Any other public comments at this time? And you know that we do have another public comment section near the end of our meeting. We always have two. So if anything, you know, transpires in the course of our meeting that you want to make a comment on later in the meeting, you can do that. Okay. So hearing none, we're going to go into the appointment section and reports. Section A, the update on the A Pecan Picking Short Film Festival by Dr. Patricia Ferguson. Dr. Ferguson, come forward, please.
Thank you so much, Mr. Chairman, and to the Board of Commissioners. Yep, here I am again. And I appreciate the comments that you guys just made. Thank you for the opportunity to update you on the upcoming film festival and as well as share some other things. A Pecan Pickling Short Film Festival, as you know, will take place September the 8th through the 10th, 2023, with a red carpet event at Chiefs by the waterfront on Friday, September the 8th. And there remains a lot to be done. I cannot begin to express just how much is going on around the festival. What I'd like to do, Mr. Chairman, if I can approach, I have some documents for all of you. So look at your leisure, please. And the first one, can I approach?
Yes, please.
Yes. The first document that I'm handing out is a short, is a synopsis of it. And then on the back of the form, and then on the back of the form, it also lists support ways that you can also support the film festival. There's no need for me to go through it because I just heard what you said. To Chiefs, so we'll leave it there. But at your leisure, the sponsorships are on the back, as well as a synopsis of a Pecan Pickling Short Film Festival. As you all know, this is also an inaugural year. It is the very first time that a film festival is being held in Northeastern North Carolina. I can tell you that I'm not sure what exhausts me more, the thought of all the exciting things that are going on or the discovery of incredible talent. If you were at the high school just a few days ago, there was an art expo and I had to be there because I'm trying to gather and glean as much talent and be exposed to as much talent in the county and the region as possible. But not only that, I had an opportunity last Sunday to host award-winning filmmakers from Northeastern North Carolina. Can you imagine over 100 awards have already been given to award-winning producers and directors, best actors and actresses? And this, by the way, is just from one film company out of Gates County, 83 awards. Who would have guessed it? When I approached all of you about establishing an MOU for a regional film commission to be established, I can tell you the talent is already here and it's already on its way. There are a couple more documents I just want to share with all of you. I also had an opportunity, and I'm just going to pass this out, to really think about and ask them, what are their needs? Because they too believe that the film industry is ready and ripe for Berkshire County, not only Berkshire, but all of Eastern North Carolina. So I'm gonna hand out two documents for time's sake. To speed this up, let me hand out before I finish. The second one, you might get thrown back at me, so I better wait and hold on to that one so I can jump real good. What I'm handing out to you guys, to all of you commissioners, is I do believe this document was handed out when the Film Commission was first conceived. And in this, the difference is you'll see a note that says SWIFT, Students Working in Film Today. There were three important components when I met with the filmmakers that were really, really critical.
And one of those pieces had to do with workforce development. And one of the things that we've talked about is how can the film industry really end up being a workforce development tool? So what they did was talk to me about that. And these are some of the things that are needed: production assistants, grips and gaffers, props, costumes, set designers, hair and makeup, camera operator, rigger. These are some of the opportunities they say they need right now with the films that they are producing. So here's the document that I'm going to share with all of you. It is a proposal that I would love for this board to consider during budget time. And what it is called is called Economic Development for the Film Industry. And it's simply a very skeleton view proposal. And it's called SWIFT, Students Work in Film Today. And it's not just a student in high school or middle school. We're talking about any adult, anyone that considers themselves a student. And the goal was to help create workforce development opportunities in the film industry. With support from the Berkeley County Commissioners, SWIFT students will work on a film set in northeastern North Carolina, learning as they support the professionals crafting a new film. And for everyone here, it is a request for them to consider budget time to sponsor 10 students at $1,000 each as a workforce development on the job learning tool to help them. SWIFT students will discover how their interests and talents line up with jobs on a film set. And that's not all. The film industry also relies on a wide range of ancillary businesses to support the production, distribution, and marketing of movies. Some of the key ancillary businesses that support the film industry include post-production companies, visual effects companies, music and sound design companies, catering and craft services, insurance companies, transportation companies, marketing, and the list goes on. And lastly, companies such as, and I do want to, just for the record, name a few of those companies. You're talking introducing award-winning filmmakers such as Bear Hugs Productions out of Greenville, Nine Studio Productions and Melanated Writers Society out of Gates County, Laponic Studios out of Elizabeth City, and of course, Carolyn Stevenson with her studio out of Murfreesboro, all of which have indicated that they will be filming this summer. And they will be creating movies, not just to be doing it, but for competition as well. So if any of you that would like to see some of those, I have those here. The last thing that they shared with me is they are looking for angel investors. They're looking for angel investors and or investors in general. And they are more than interested in talking to anyone who might be interested. We know that's how all movies are made. They're made by investors. So I shared with them that when I met with you tonight, that I would at least acknowledge their concerns and their excitement about the MOU. I shared with them that they should be getting their counties in the near future a draft of an MOU to help create that regional film commission. And I'm gonna give you the last example to show you how powerful it is. The Nine Productions Melanated Writers Society asked me to travel to, because they're in Gates County, they asked me to travel to Suffolk, Virginia on Monday last week. Why? Because they were interested in using the Hilton Hotel to shoot one of the scenes for the movie. I got in my car, drove to Suffolk, had an opportunity to meet with the general manager, but I didn't have the authority and the power of saying, we're part of a regional film commission out of North Carolina, your neighbor next door. That would have solidified for that particular establishment to journey with us to help meet their needs. He met with Vincent Edwards, met with the gentleman again today, and they said, you know what? We love the idea. It is so new. Let us think about it, but no for now. So every time we don't have that document and it's not moving forward, we cannot begin to build a case for surrounding communities and counties that we're serious about film. And then our filmmakers have a more difficult time trying to solidify places for them to shoot. So again, thank you all so very, very much for this opportunity. And if there are any questions, I hope I can answer at this time.
Questions for? I do have a couple of comments and questions too. Last Friday, I attended the district meeting for this 6 counties that make up our district, Hersher, Gates, Martin, Washington, Bertie, and Terrell. And I mentioned that we talked each about things that we were looking at in our counties. And I mentioned this. And when you said workforce development falls under the Mideast Commission.
That's correct.
And I'm wondering if that might be a place to give some assistance in terms of not only if we can provide funding, but that you could do this on a regional basis.
Oh, right? Absolutely.
And they could help you with that, right? Not, you know, and that's what workforce development is there for, right?
Absolutely.
So we will certainly take this up at budget time.
Yes.
But I would say a couple of things. We need to get that MOU as quickly as we can because September's coming quickly.
Yeah, right? It is.
But I would go directly to the Mideast as soon as possible, see if they have funds. Maybe they can match any dollars that were raised from the 6 counties.
Okay.
Something like that might be available.
Thank you very much. And I'm also hopeful that the county would encourage their staff employees to volunteer. We know volunteers are the key to any project like this. So if there's a way the county could put something out to the staff, the employees and say, hey, here's a volunteer opportunity if you're able to, or if you can, that would mean a lot as well.
You hear that? Sure.
Yeah.
Thank you. Thank you very much.
Thank you all very much. Thank you.
Next is a report that we've all been waiting for, our EMS revenue update and revenue projections by Politan Software. Come forth, one of our always bring good news. I'm hoping you will again this year.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. Thank you for having us, Commissioners. I see a couple of new faces. My name is Dave Pickren. I'm the Vice President of Politan Software. And I appreciate the opportunity to be here with you. Also with us today is Brian Gerken. He's the President and CEO of the company. I did prepare a few quick information. Is it okay to hand this out, Mr.?
Yes, absolutely.
This is information concerning the current revenues as well as projections that we have with EMS billing and where we see the rest of the year moving forward.
Thank you.
As you're aware, we run this organization is running two different divisions, the first being the non-emergent transport division. At the request of the commissioners a few years ago, these were separated in our reporting mechanism so that the information is shown as the NET, which we call the non-emergent, and then what the 911 does. The first page of this report on page 2 shows how we finished fiscal year 2022. I believe it's been that long since the last time we reported the commissioners. I'm very excited about the rates that we finished. Both were the best we've ever had. We finished the year at a 91.2% collection rate and $265 per call. We kind of set a goal there of getting it above 250. COVID made a step back a little bit, obviously, but 91.2% collection rate, $265 per call, $719,000 for the year.
Dave, I've been around long enough to remember when we first brought you guys on and we were projecting a 72%.
Right.
Collection rate, and now we're at 91%.
Correct. We billed out 1.669 and we have 1.164,000 is all that was left on AR. So most of the 164, if we were to break it down further, it's patient pay, you know, indigent patients that it's under our billing policy that we're not aggressively going after turning over to a collection agency or anything of that nature. So I'm very pleased with what we saw on net last year. On the third page is what we saw with 911, 79.22% collection rate. As a company, our goal is usually to get our 911 services between 60 and 70% on 911, 79.22% collection rate. But what I was really excited about was $357 on a per call basis. If you remember going back a few years, we were in the mid 200s and we had paperwork that we were trying to process through, and I think it really comes from both organizations, Colleton as well as your EMS department here. I know there's been changes in personnel that have really come on board. Colleton dedicated a resource. We have a young man that works for the company that's on site just about every month, going over paperwork requirements and making sure that nothing has fallen through the cracks. Every call is an opportunity for revenue, and we want to make sure that we pursue every dollar of the counties. And most important, we want to treat everybody the same. We don't want to, the last thing a commissioner wants to hear is, well, we know you let so-and-so not. We treat everybody the same way, and I think that's important that we do that. On page 4 shows where we are this year. I ran these last Thursday. I wanted to give them to Director Cooper before the meeting so he could review with any questions. On the net side, we're at 634,000 this year. So we're right on pace to be maybe a little bit ahead of where we were last year, but definitely maintaining the same revenues. And again, you can see we built out 1.2 and only 147,000. So it's about an 85 to 90% collection rate again this year. And again, that comes from us getting the paperwork in a timely fashion, us billing the call to the appropriate payer service as quickly as possible, and and also doing things the right way, getting it done in a timely fashion. On page 5 shows what we've done on 911 this year. This is significantly up, 1.1 million and only 102,000 right now in AR. So not only are we keeping up with the current information, but we're also going back to make sure after secondary payment. So if you look at that on the 911, it's about a 94, 95% collection rate. It will not finish the year there more than likely, but our goal is to be, you know, is always to improve over the 79 from last year. But a lot of that has to do with, even if things don't go through on the first time, working a pending, working anything that's showing as outstanding. We have a dedicated team in our office that every day, that's what they're doing. What can be paid? What can be secondary? Who hasn't paid? Why haven't they paid? And what do we need to get Bertie County a check? And that's what they've done. So great numbers on 2023. On page 6, I just showed the comparison between the last 2 years. Total revenue last year was 1.78. This year, with what, 7 to 8 weeks left in the year, we're at 1.772. So I would imagine after the close of business today, if I ran the reports, we're already ahead of the pace for last year with still almost 2 full months to do. So again, we're through the COVID. Mitch's or Director Cooper's organization is running full board. You know, is based on the limits of the facilities and the personnel. They're wide open running all the time, and we're seeing that increase in revenue. Only $10,000 short of last year with 8 weeks to go, we will be well ahead of our pace from last that we were on last year. On page 8, I just wanted to, one thing that was asked was to show projections. One goal that we've had since we've started here is always to go over $2 million in EMS billing revenues. I think we're going to get there this year. We don't have COVID the last 2 years, and last year we saw an uptick. But based on where we are today, I looked at what was on the accounts receivable, what calls were coming in, the current call volume, and the trends, and we should be over $2 million in EMS billing revenue, and that'll be the first time that we've achieved that. I do have to give props to our staff. The ladies in our office that do that work have really been on the ball this year, have worked hard to, they knew we had a goal, and they've worked hard to achieve it. We've also changed a few internal policies on how we go after secondary payment and also working what we call a pending. Our system now has the ability that if a call should have been paid in 30 days and it hasn't been paid, we have a department dedicated to reaching out to whether it's Blue Cross, Blue Shield, Medicare, Humana, to go after that money. Every dollar that we raise is $1 of the taxes, the citizens of the county don't have to pay in tax dollars. So that's what we're looking at for 2023 physical. I know the commissioners have always been interested in the historical trends, so I listed the last 5 years to show what we've done on page 9. 1.6 and 1.6, 2021 were obviously, as we went at 2020 and 2021, were COVID years. Non-emergent was way down as the transports weren't there. As you can see, we're up 400,000 last year. We're already up to that level this year. We'll be up another 300,000 this year. So we're looking in a 2-year period, an increase of about 33%, about 20% this year. And that just is, again, comes about with everyone on the same page. I think the fact that we've worked with Director Cooper and his staff for so long, everybody, and of course, the financial manager before he left last week, everybody knew how to do things, and we had a great communication. We're sure as a new financial department gets settled, we'll be on site to work with them also. So that's where we are. I also wanted to list on page 10, a list of the historic call volume, and you can see how that's come up also. It was down during COVID, as we saw with every county we work with in North Carolina, and we have seen it come back up in 2022 and in 2023. I think 2023 will be about the same as last year. But the revenues have increased. Just waiting to see why it comes in. You know, we handle what we have that comes in. So that's the information on where we are on billing, what we project for 2023. We've already provided Director Cooper with our projections for fiscal 2024, so you could have it ready for our budget meetings and have that information. And as far as we've seen it, I think we'll still also see an increase for next year also. So things are going smoothly. We have no issues at all. It's a pleasure working with everybody in Bertie County. There's never a problem. Is, you know, and if there is, we address it immediately and move forward. So,
first of all, thank you. You always make it very clear, very plain in terms of your presentation so we can look at the data. Commissioner Trent, you remember years back when we were put in a position to have to take over this part of county services. We had to make a very tough call.
I remember it.
We're spending citizens' money. We'd never been down this road for ourselves. And one of the best things we did was to bring in Carlton because we knew your reputation and you have exceeded our expectations.
We appreciate that.
But I also want to give props to our director, Mitch Cooper, and his team. Mitch, you guys have, you know, we've gone through a lot and continue to do the work, improve the service, improve the quality that we deliver to our citizens, and we're bringing up the revenue because we've got to pay for it. You know that. You know, and I just please pass on, you know, kudos to everybody on your team because this is significant, right? This is significant. We took a big risk, as you well know, and your team has not let us down, not once. And so I'll throw it open to the rest of the staff.
Couple questions, Dave.
One more thing I did want to mention. Not only are we responsible for maintaining your revenue and making sure that we maximize your revenue for that, but the most important thing we do for the county is full compliance. Nothing is more important than doing it legal, doing it right, and making sure that we have that information, depending on what source is asking for it. Having said that, we're about ready for Bertie County to go through an audit. And I wanted to share some information about the audit that we are going through. There are various audits, and I listed the ones that we see with Blue Cross Blue Shield, Medicare, Medicaid. But the one we're going through right now, getting ready to begin here in Bertie County, is the Ground Ambulance Data Collection Instrument. It's a program put out by the federal government to check on how they're being compensated and to look at the data from the information on billing as well as the calls being transformed. Bertie County will start this in fiscal 2024, meaning July 1st through June of 2024, and then the information is due to the organization in November 2024. The things they're looking at are expenses. What are you all spending on EMS as an overall budget? Where's the spending focus? Where's your money going? Training costs, supply costs, employee costs. What type of investment have you made in your employees as far as training opportunities and allowing them to progress in their chosen field? What is your cost of operation? You know, how are you handling the rising in all supplies and all that? So that information will be responsibility of the county finance department, obviously apply. Paulton will be responsible for providing all the information as far as what type of transports you've taken, where you've gone to, what level of care you provided, and all the information as far as what you've been compensated. On page 12, the purpose of the project is to measure operating EMS versus the compensation and revenue provided. Everyone in this room can tell you that you aren't compensated enough to cover all the costs. But we're going to do this project to prove it anyway. Supposedly, they're going to look at the information. They'll come back with recommendations on how to compensate fairly and to make sure that the services you provide for the citizens here in Bertie are being provided fully by Medicare, CMS, or Medicaid. What Colleton is doing to be proactive, we've been through, about 12 or 15 of them now? Some of our clients were chosen in the first year. We've been through about a dozen of them already. So we're prepared, but we wanted to give you a list of what we're doing to assist the county finance department and the county EMS. On-site meetings, Brian has lived in Hilton's and in his car the last few months. Traveling around will be on-site. We're not doing it by Zoom. We're not doing it by email. We're showing up on-site to go over all the information to make sure there's no surprises and everybody has a full understanding. We'll provide all the data that is necessary from our end, what you were compensated, what you charged out, what it was costing, everything to do with the data on the billing side of it. There's a template that's coming out from CMS this year. We'll make sure we have the template. And again, all the information is available to help you begin this process. support and respect. I was speaking with our billing manager this morning, and she said she'd already had two calls this morning when I was asking her about this. So we're always there. Our office manager, and our compliance director are always available to answer those questions, and we're being proactive. The last thing we want to do is start this on October 2024 when it's due in 30 days. So we got 16 to 18 months here to get this information. So we're being very proactive and want to make sure that we do it correctly. This isn't mandatory. You don't have to do this. But Medicare will take 10% of your money back if you don't. So in Vertee County's case, that was $83,141. So if they want us to fill out a template and a project for the $83,000, we will most definitely fill out the $83,000. So up in the next few months, we'll be meeting with Director Cooper and his staff to go over that. Also with Finance Department, we'll make appointments to make sure they have all the information. We'd love to have this done well beforehand so it's done, it's clean and non. And as I said, keeping Vertee County in full compliance is our number one goal here.
Yeah, I did. I got a couple questions. Before, we had mentioned once before, cost of doing business, return on investment, things of that nature, okay? Well, we know what the net profit is. We're coming into June, which is our end of budget, our fiscal year, and I think what we really need is a cost of doing business with non-emergency, okay?
Okay.
Because revenue is cash flow, okay?
Right.
That's the flow of cash, all right? But we turn around and take the cost of doing business for non-emergency for the year, okay? How much we got paid? Okay. And what is the profit?
Right.
Okay. We don't have that. Okay. Correct on this. This is not here.
Well, this is just, I don't know what the expenses are and what the budget's put
in the county. No, yeah. I understand.
Okay.
I'm talking to you and Mitch, to be honest with you, because he's got to work with you to get all this stuff put together. Okay. But we're going into year end. Okay. And June is the date for budget. Can you get something like that put together for us? You've done it once before. Okay. You've done it once before. And I think we made over $250,000. I think taxpayers need to know where the money's going and how much money they're returning. Okay, that'd be great.
And of course, we'll update this information at the end of the year to say the final numbers.
We can work the numbers backwards and figure out what our return on investment is. Okay? But again, great job. Fantastic, all of you.
Yeah.
What impact would Medicaid expansion have?
Brian, would you like to address that?
Yes.
Brian's been to some training recently and some classes. So I'd rather have the information come straight from him.
We attended a seminar about 2 months ago. Through Medicaid Advantage, they're claiming that there'll be an additional 600,000 people will be covered. But next year, they're going to have 8 plans instead of 5. And they say with the 8 plans, we may, because they're going to change the restrictions of it, we may lose 150,000 from the plans. That's what they're estimating, but they say on the flip side, with the advantage, we'll gain 600,000. So I guess you're looking at about 400,000 people in the state that will have coverage now that at that time it does not have it now. But we really won't know until we, like, say, the contract should start coming. Mitch, have you got any contract? Okay, the contract should be coming out in the next couple of days, but instead of 5 plans, they're going to have 8 plans next year. Off the top of my head, I can't remember who they are, but it's.
The one thing I have seen is that Vertee County should fare fairly well in Medicaid expansion because we have a lot of folks who fall in that gap, right?
Yes,
and
sir.
It's supposed to hit those folks in gap and give them additional, well, sometimes.
Well, yeah, yes, sir. And I would recommend, you know, they came out 2 years ago and your Medicaid cost reimbursement, instead of doing, well, you still have to do 30%. There's 30% of the people not covered. But you have to do it. But if you could get everybody, a lot of counties open up places where they could go, like health departments, and get them to sign up because, what is this, like $1,100 a call? Mm-hmm. Whereas Medicaid used to pay $74 for BLS and $121. If you could get them signed up under that plan, I think it's like $1,136 they'll pay. So it would be advantageous to the county to get as many people signed up under one of these plans as they can.
Have we got anything on our webpage about that? It may be something good that if we put that on our webpage, okay, to let the people know that this is something that hey, you know what, this is a priority. It needs to get done so they have coverage. Okay.
Yeah.
Well, exactly. I mean, that's the deal.
And let's look at what some of the other counties around us are doing too, because if there are any additional things we can do, I mean, I like the idea. About, you know, we have a lot of planned things all during the course of the year, right? And so we can have someone there to sign up desk to make sure that people sign up. Look at Good Shepherd, right? We got them out in a whole new facility. We had 600 people coming through there all the time, who probably a lot of them don't have coverage, right? We can partner with Good Shepherd, partner with Carolina Rebuilders, and get people to sign up. That's a lot of money.
I would estimate a lot of people got letters and had no idea what they were getting.
Exactly.
What to do.
Exactly.
DSS director about Medicaid extension, of course. And so our IT director communicates with department heads regularly about updating the website. And I'm not sure if Ms. Little, Director Little, has provided that information on the website, but I have spoken to her about coming to our work session on May 22nd to provide the board and the public an update on where we are with Medicaid extension.
Because what happens, guys, in this community, let's face it, communication is our biggest problem, right? Getting the information out to folks so they understand the benefit to them and the benefit to the county. Right. So we need almost to have a mechanism to put something in front of them and say, this is, if you don't have insurance, you qualify, this is an advantage for you. Right.
Right.
Because it helps everybody. But we've got to look for opportunities to be able to do that, because they're not, you know, I don't think we're going to get where we want to get to if we simply just post it somewhere. Our citizens simply do not respond extremely well to that. Right.
Right.
We've got to get something in front of them. So partnership, maybe like with a Good Shepherd or DSS, maybe have other opportunities. We got the van that goes around, you know, now.
Well, I can tell you now, a lot of the paperwork that the elderly are getting, especially this new thing where they had to change healthcare providers and this, that, and the other, they just didn't understand.
Right, and I agree with you.
And they just did not understand it. I mean, I got numerous calls from our elderly, and, of course, I'm looking at it, a copy of it, because I've got two elderly people that my mother and stepfather live right behind me in their 80s. And they didn't comprehend. And of course, I took it over from there. And some of the stuff is, you know, a different animal. If you're not used to filling it out, it's a different animal. So I'd make
it can be very
calls.
Confusing to someone.
And some tough choices.
Absolutely.
It is. And, you know, and they came back and said if you didn't choose a plan, they would choose one for you. That's but I don't exactly really think that happened.
Unfortunately, the senior center came through and helped a lot of people get that paperwork done. And maybe if we did some sort of drive through the senior center, okay, here in Windsor, and also the senior center we have in Kelford, for West Bertie County, we can up this margin of people to right. get signed up for the Medicaid. I mean, this is a God-given right in the United States. I mean, this is where you're at, okay? And there's coverage for you. And these are the things we really need to do, especially at the senior centers as people are coming in. Kelford especially in the West Bertie County area, also over here in Windsor, okay? People are going to eat. People are going to play bingo. People are doing this and have a little seminar, have people there to sign people up if they haven't signed up for it, okay? And that's something we ought to really look at.
When it comes to percentage of folks not covered, not in raw numbers, but percentages, Bertie is one of the highest in our division. So we have a nice gain potential if we can lock into that and maximize that. Everybody wins.
Well, I think last year they estimated about 30% of people were not covered.
Is there a way that county manager, is there a way that we could set something up like at the Kelford Community Center where they have the senior center at, okay? If not there, the Roxville, where people aren't having to travel 25 miles to Windsor and have something set up at Windsor Senior Center also to do the same thing. Specifically put that out there, have this set up, have DSS workers that are actually there to be able to sign people up, get the paperwork done for them, and that way we can increase our people as far as getting the coverage that they need. Okay. I mean, I'm a firm believer in business or anything. Take it to the people. Don't make the people come to you. Let's take it to them. Okay. Is there a way we can do that?
Yes, sir. I believe there is.
Okay.
You can work on that. And Good Shepherd, because that's a lot of folks that come through there.
Mm-hmm.
And they have to check their, you know, make sure that they qualify every single time. They can put something in their hands, a little quick explanation.
And I'll make sure Robin, who's my compliance director, any information that she's given that is forwarded to you that to help out to kind of explain the different plans. And
great.
Like I said, because there's eight plans for emergent, and then there's motive care, which will be the non-emergent. And I don't know that y'all didn't sign up for it last year, did you? Because y'all just had enough out of your own.
You don't sign up for their dispatch.
And they're having such a hard time finding people that actually the last few contracts we've signed, you could almost write your own check. So that's right. Something we probably going forward need to look into also.
Okay. And Commissioner, when I was preparing these reports this week, In the past, we showed a breakdown between payers. I didn't want to confuse all the information here, but I noticed there was 238 calls that were billed at Medicaid normal rates. Like Mr. Gerken said, it's $74 a pop. Right. If they had been enrolled, they'd paid at $1,100. 237 times another $1,000 per call.
Well, you're talking $237,000, okay? So I can do the math on that. I meant that's a big deal. That's a real big deal. And that's the reason we have got to take the initiative to set these things up at the senior centers and get the people in there, okay?
And I tell you what we could also do. We could go back in our system and pull out the patients.
If we could do that, we could do a robocall and make that robocall come to the senior center or such and such date. I mean, Mitch, we can hook that up, can't we?
We'll have that to you this week.
Yeah.
I mean, if we could do that.
We could actually go back directly to each of those centers. That's what our senior center can do. They could make the call directly back to the center.
But we do a robocall to every one of these people that do not have the Medicaid and say, hey, come, and let's get this thing signed up. West, East, do it.
Okay, we'll get that to you.
The last few years, that way we can make sure we have everything.
Yeah.
Tremendous. That's tremendous.
Yeah, that's great.
Thank you much.
Always. Thank y'all. Thank y'all.
Oh, let me also want to say that Carlton just got the contract for the city of Greenville.
We did, and the lady told us today that somewhere at Bertie County gave us an excellent recommendation. So we do appreciate it.
Well, you better not ignore us.
Thanks a lot, guys. Thank you very much.
Okay, have a wonderful evening.
You too. All right. Next on our agenda is the Tall Glass of Water update from my project consultant, Robin Payne. Hello, Robin.
Hello, everyone. How are you?
Great.
Okay. Scott, can you beam me up there? Okay.
Beam me up, Scott.
Can I have it bigger? Okay.
There we
All
go.
Right.
Coming up.
Yep, that's good. We're getting there. All right. So we have a roof. We have siding on. Of course, we have the path to the beach done. We walked the trails last Thursday. The Attorney General's office did a visit celebrating all of the different EEG grants in the region. Great turnout. Had a good time. Scott, can I have the next slide? There you go. They put the handrail up going down to the beach. Feels
like the
good.
Grass came in nicely.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, it's nice. And Dr. Riggs is happy.
Are you sure?
I think he would say something.
I think he would too. He would.
Okay. All right. Plumbing fixtures will get here on the 23rd. Landscaper is ready. Once everything is graded and those piles of spoiled dirt that's there, once those are dealt with, we're good to go. Talk to Ryan Vincent. We have a schedule for him to go out on the 25th so we can do our annual review. He cleans up the roadway, he cleans up the beach. If there's wood debris lying anywhere, he goes ahead and works on that. Let's see, Year of the Trail event, again, July 21st, 22nd, 23rd. This is confirmed now. First Colony Foundation will have a tent. Partnerships for the Sounds will be providing kayaking on Saturday the 22nd. We have two trail guides that will be present, one stationed at either of the main entrances. That would be down by the south, the Hook Swamp, and then up by the northern boundary, which is the hiking trail access that's closest to the restrooms. Donna has lined up the food trucks. We definitely have Miss Alice Harrell there for Friday and Saturday. And then Donna's working on the shaved ice to see what span of days. Of course, it's going to be July, so that might be a nice balance with food trucks.
Did we have mentioned volunteers? Did we ever get back to that volunteer called in who wanted to help us, donate some time to Trails Project and the whole work?
We had a volunteer that wanted to donate time for a Trails Project.
Yeah.
Who was that?
Remember the one I sent to you? I have his number at home, but he just retired from work, and he just wanted to come in and volunteer some time. He knew about the project, remember?
I'll have to get up with you again on that.
We need to get to him, because he's nice enough to want to do it. He's not going to get any compensation. There's a lot of experience, so we need to put him to work.
Okay.
I'll send you the name and everything.
Okay, I'm putting it back on my list. And we definitely got the Wildlife Resources Commission Sensory Safari Trailer that Friday, Saturday, and Sunday. And of course, that'll be manned. So that'll be cool because now our entire scope of everything that we're presenting for that three span of days, you know, is all about the outdoors, hiking, kayaking. Be great. Coordinates well with what Edenton's doing. They're having food trucks, of course, and some kayaking. And then Salmon Creek is having their big canoes ready. So now again, sometime this week, the state is having their Year of the Trails Zoom. So everybody that's participating in this 3-day weekend, you know, the state is the one providing all of the advertisements. We don't have to wait for them, but it would be nice to fold in all of their logos and, you know, what they're doing. So. So I will send out information to everybody when that becomes final, but I think by the end of the week, we could go ahead and start promoting, you know, that weekend. All right. So we have been working on our, I think last time we met, we talked about our different options for, a camping reservation system. What we were going to do in terms of maintenance, having somebody there full time. So Donna and I did complete our budget. Of course, we have the annual preseason cleanup. Then we have the supplies that we see that would be required every year for maintenance. You know, toilet paper, cleaning supplies, trash bags, etc. Donna has submitted her riverfront manager a full-time and a part-time position. It's conceivable we can have a camp host. We did talk to the septic folks, and we can take one of those campers and hook them up to the septic system. So, you know, we have some flexibility there with what we can. It would help if we've got people there staying at the campground. If we've got somebody there at night and somebody that's there on the weekend, I think it would be a much better experience, especially it's our first year. Then we also have the camping reservation system, which the fees for that come out of, you know, what the cost for the rental is. And then we have equipment, and it's one-time purchase, hoses, trash cans, tool trailers, things like that, which unfortunately, a lot of equipment we can't purchase via a grant. So we submitted that budget today to Juan and to David. We can continue to work on that. But if we want to move forward and get that campground open and start renting the kayaks, this is we see that we need. And that's it. As I see more happening down at the site, I can send pictures or be available May 22nd at the meeting.
Robin, why don't you tell the board a little bit more about the Josh Stein visit, Attorney General, and the groups that we were able to bring to Bertie County.
Okay.
From all around.
Okay. Let's see. Wonderful day, beautiful weather. Now, Dr. Riggs was there. He came, of course, he's involved with all of the projects that were there. He came representing the North Carolina Coastal Land Trust. Coastal Land Trust received two acquisition grants from the Attorney General's office, the EEG program, which is, you know, the Smithfield monies. Then, of course, Bertie County, the Tall Glass of Water Project, received some environmental enhancement money. I was there. Chowan University was there. Chowan University and two of their students, again, Chowan has been utilizing the funding through the EEG program to enact the water quality testing they've been doing, the habitat monitoring, and they are developing a program that K through 12 can use at the culmination of their 3 years at Togla Savoy. Dr. Bo Dame at Chowon University also talked about what is at present happening, and that is Duke University and North Carolina State University with an Australian university wants to study blue carbon. And blue carbon is, climate change, but they've identified Tall Glass of Water as a site of study and a place that they'd like to do research. So Bo is tracking that. It's really exciting that, you know, here we are and that project, that location got that much focal point. This effort is looking at coastal properties. So, you know, yes, they'll be looking out at the Outer Banks, but in terms of water-based outdoor parks, you know, we're in a great spot. So let's see. Then the Audubon Society was there. They, of course, received environmental enhancement money as well. The Albemarle Resource Conservation and Development Group was there. Vivian Saunders was there. The Hive received environmental enhancement money for the restoration of 4 acres in the middle of Lewiston Woodville.
You should know that Robin helped write that grant.
Yeah. And next slide, Scott, or the third slide. I even got her on a trail.
Seeing snakes.
right. And there's data. Yeah. It was good.
That's your rare question.
Well, so, you know, we all met. Superintendent Rogers was there from Salmon Creek, scanning the group to make sure I don't miss anybody. So we all introduced ourselves, and, you know, just as we started talking, this osprey came and landed on that iconic tree, you know, that's right behind the cliff there, and just squawking. It was just great. So then we took a hike down to the Hook Swamp, you know, the one that we share with Salmon Creek, walked in, came back up the trail. And when you crest over one of the peaks, you have this gorgeous view of that swamp. And, you know, I mean, there was a wood duck there. The sun was coming through the trees. I mean, it was just a really great view. Then we, you know, listened to Dr. Riggs for a while talk about the incised ditches. And it's very educational. And then we walked down to the beach. So, yeah, it was a good spot. It was a good day.
I want you to mention those folks. It's a great opportunity to get those kind of folks here on our sand to see this project. They're taking it back to their home base. I mean, that was a good day.
A couple of the photographers that were there is Kip Tabb and John, you know, who's here locally, and Foley. And when I stood back, what I took in was that it was just a great group of the region, you know, all of these groups just do such great work, you know. So it was good. It's very, very good.
Further questions for us?
Yeah.
Robin, I'd like to ask a question. It's a lot of buzz going about Tall Glass of Water. So I commend you on that. I mean, it's a lot of buzz, good buzz.
Oh, good buzz. Thank you.
Yeah. And I talked to a few of my friends just to see, you know, what, you know, their camp, and they love to camp, and just to see what they would be looking for in a great campsite, because quite naturally, if we get it open, we want it to be flourishing, you know, and enjoyable. And there was a few things I'm just gonna call them out and get your
thoughts. Okay.
Okay.
I have a list going.
Okay. And the first item was a pet washing station. I thought that was simple, but there was something like to spray the dogs or the cat.
Okay.
The other one was a laundry station, even if it's a coin laundry station, two or three washing machines, dryers, but those that may stay there for periods of time, as you were speaking of. And the final one, I say this one to last, no, we'll have waterfront, but a few people mentioned a pool.
That comes up in the county, a pool. You know,
so those are the things, just some enhancement
Okay.
Tools that I just wanted to throw out there and get your thoughts on them and see.
Okay. I will add them to the list. You know, having water would be good. So a laundry would be difficult at this juncture. But there will be hoses out, you know, by the restrooms. Everybody has to discuss the dog, if we're allowing dogs, have to be dog on a leash. You know, but to date, we haven't allowed dogs on tall glass of water. So that's on our rules list. Wow. You know, are we going there or not? Which most parks do. You just have to have them on a leash. So I've added them. I've also been getting calls about horseback riding, mountain bike trails. So the list is growing.
Hey, at least we got participation.
It's interesting you mentioned horseback riding, because you know we are part of Martin Bertie Community College.
Mm.
And Martin has, you know, the premier equine, you know, a training organization in this part of the state. And, you know, they have some sponsorships from, you know, food, horse product companies and riding apparel, all kind of stuff.
Mm-hmm.
They might be very interested in doing something over here.
Okay.
Very interested. They got some money.
Okay. Can I get through phase one first? Okay. Yeah, we get, okay. And they're great recommendations. And the list has also gotten longer when I walk with Superintendent Rogers, because, you know, he manages Merchant Mill State Park. So he's got that day-to-day, real life, this is going to happen to you kind of thing. And so last week I heard all about the DOL, which is a dog off leash. I'm sorry. It was good. So, you know, but all really great points. We definitely need to add bollards or 4x4s at the entrance of our walking trail, because we're getting ATVs going through the walking trail. So, yeah. So little things like that, Don and I've added to the list. So little things, but, you know, one-time purchases, one-time things, but we need to just get them done. So good.
Great.
Yeah. Thank you.
Thank you, Rob.
Yeah.
Thank
it's nice to know people are engaging with it.
Thank you very much. All right. So next on our appointments and reports agenda is recommendation position reclassification. Director Courtney Ward.
Upon recent discussion with the sheriff regarding supervision within the sheriff's office, we have identified the need for reclassification of one of his currently budgeted deputy positions to a sergeant position. Based on the new structure of the Bertie County Sheriff's Office organizational chart, patrol of the county is broken out into four separate shifts. On each shift, there would need to be a supervising deputy, which would be the sergeant. The sheriff's office currently has three patrol sergeants budgeted for and would need a fourth to cover the fourth shift and to have adequate supervision on that shift. This position is currently budgeted at $43,268.40, and the reclassification would result in an increase of $360.58 for the remainder of fiscal year 22-23. Moving forward, the overall salary increase for this reclassification would be $2,163.42 annually. It is our recommendation to reclassify a currently budgeted deputy position to a sergeant within the Bertie County Sheriff's Office.
Right. All of you probably, I'm sure you've read this in your package. What the sheriff is asking for, the annual cost for us is only $2,163.42 for this year. So, questions?
I'd like to make the motion.
I'll second it.
Right.
I'll make the motion that we accept the sheriff recommendation, because every shift needs a supervisor.
We heard it moved, properly second. All those in any other discussion before? All those in favor of approving the request from the sheriff, please say aye.
Aye.
All those opposed, nay. Ayes have it. Thank you.
Thank you.
I think it's a very good plan too, Sheriff. Good coverage for us. We're going to need it. Okay.
Great. See enough? So now the last thing is from our interim finance director. We got double duty on him. He's a little tired, folks, but we're wearing him out. But
let us pray.
Let us pray. Yeah, I love it.
All right, so the monthly report is in your agenda packet. There are no concerns that I have after having seen this. You'll notice the only thing that really stands out is the medical examiner at 128% of expenditures. But if you'll also recall in the last session or two sessions ago, you approved a budget amendment to where we can offset those costs. So that's not going to be an issue next month, I don't believe. There's nothing else there. It should be about 75%. Everything is within the budget. If you'll flip over to the back, you'll see that there's two reimbursable projects. I talked with Robin. He snuck out of here. The reimbursements, we're anticipating having those reimbursements from the Tallgrass border by the end of this fiscal year. She said she's meeting on Wednesday. She's got a meeting on Wednesday to talk more about that. I honestly do not have an answer for you on the water replacement reimbursement. Yeah,
Dave, that second one, that was submitted in January, right? I mean,
I'm sorry, but I don't have any information on that right now. I haven't talked to Ricky about it or anything.
All right. Just concerned because, you know, every year.
What page is that budget on?
It was page 10. Page 9 and 10.
Page 9 and 10.
Yeah. Right. So, you know, we got stuck in prior years, right? Things owed us. And I know done a good job. We only got two here, but Robert can handle that first one. We could see what Ricky has for us. Is anything we can do? I do have a couple of questions on page 9.
Okay.
The first one is interest earned on investments. If these numbers are correct, we've gained $130,000 against investment.
That is correct.
Interest rates have gone up because inflation's gone up. And
you've noted,
yeah, the rates are interest rates.
William has pointed this out to you every time for the last several months.
That is significant. We're looking at $130,000 not in our budget.
That's right.
Okay. But I do have one other item here. And I'm glad the sheriff is here. And maybe this is probably not a problem, but we're looking at the percentage against our goal, which should be somewhere around 75%. We're at about 67% on the spend against budget, Sheriff. But is it, you think you're in good shape to, you know, for the rest of the year and your budget, you're going to be fine?
Yes. The only thing is, and I spoke with the county manager this week about the overtime budget when I came in the office, that was the only thing that was one of the things that was gone. And having these officers now, you know, look forward to money, but we have spoken and worked it out.
Yeah. It looks like the spend against this far in the year, which we expect to be about 75%, you're down at about 68%. Yes. So
we're watching everything because this is my first year.
Sure. So
we're just managing everything to make sure we don't overspend. We don't know. And basically, I don't know if anything could be hitting before the end of the year, so we're just being kept before we spend anything this year.
That's good. That's proof.
Okay. Thanks, sir.
And one last thing, the $2.9 million that we're in NC Capital Management Trust of the Fund, that's where we're ahead of last year. That management trust, we this money goes into, what do they call it, a management trust? How's that set up? I don't want a long explanation, but do you know where it goes, Juan? I mean, this $2.9 million, this is NC Capital Management Trust, which we had 7.2 million, we were 4.3 the prior year. Does that money, is that sitting in something for us?
That's where the money comes into. And as we need it into our bank account to pay payroll or to pay other expenditures, we transfer it out of there and go into it. That's really the central depository for it.
That's what I thought. So whatever's left in there, obviously that still counts toward us. So we are in fact $2.9 million ahead of page last year, right?
Yes, sir.
Okay, great.
David, and I know you're stepping in a position here that's pretty complicated, okay? But when it comes to the reimbursements on the back, we talked about this a couple months ago with William, okay? We got $482,000 sitting there. Do you know where we're at with this as far as being reimbursed?
That's what I said just a few moments ago, that I don't have any information on this one. I've not had a chance to talk to Ricky about it.
Yeah, because we talked to William about it, and He's supposed to get some information. Of course, William's not here anymore. So,
what John on that thing? 354 is that's Robin. It's on Tall Glass Water. He said she's working on that one.
Yeah,
but we doesn't have any information.
Yeah, I read that. I read that part. And again, these are totals for the last totals we had also the March. So, of course, cash.
Great. Thank you, David. Good job, man. No sleep for you.
Plenty of sleep.
Just kidding, man. Great. No, seriously. Great work. Okay, great. Okay, we're going on now to, we don't have any board appointments. There are a couple of things on the consent agenda that I want to kind of take these in separately, but I'll try to go through them quickly. What is your pleasure on the improvements of the minutes, open minutes, 4:17, the closed meetings, minutes for that same period? You have a chance to review them, board? What's your pleasure on that?
I wasn't here, so somebody else needs to make a motion.
I'll make the motion that we accept the minutes.
Okay. Moved and properly second. All those in favor, please say aye. Okay, thank you. We have a proclamation for the clerk of our board and Lashonda. We did that proclamation. The proclamation is there. It's presented, but we also had a little presentation to you from the board. So flowers. But we wanted to recognize the clerk of the Board of the County Commissioners week. We passed a resolution to that effect. Thank you so much for the work that you do. Okay. We don't need any. We have to approve that. Is that correct? Okay. I'll make the motion that we approve the proclamation.
Second.
Moved and properly second. All those in favor of approving the proclamation for the clerk of the Board of County Commissioners week, please say aye.
Aye.
All those opposed, nay. Ayes have it. Thank you. We have an interlocal agreement with Shawan County to provide building inspector services. You've seen that. This goes back and forth from county to county. We have several of these in place. We served when we had high-level inspectors. We supported the other counties around us. We're in need now of some of the high-level inspection. So this report is standard, kind of fair, but are there any questions?
No question. I'll make the motion that we accept the agreement between Shawan County.
I second.
Moved and properly second. Any other discussion? All right. All those in favor of approving the interlocal agreement, please say aye.
Aye.
All those opposed, nay. Ayes have it. Thank you. Now we have two things concerning the auditors. One is approval of a contract, audit accounts with Malden and Jenkins, and approval of the engagement letter with Malden and Jenkins. County manager, anything specific to say about that?
No, sir. I don't have anything additional besides that our attorneys have reviewed and approved and don't have any concerns. The contracts seem pretty much like the standard template from the LGC for the most part.
Great. Well, what did
you put? I actually have a question. Is this a normal amount?
This amount is an increase from our previous auditor. Yes, so that is the biggest thing with this new auditor. It is more expensive. Yeah, but we're hoping
about
that.
How much more?
It's approximately $20,000 to $30,000 additional.
We did an RFP for this, and we got in quotes, and this was not the most expensive quote, but this was not the cheapest quote either. But
I just checked our quote. I mean, I just checked how much we pay.
The board, the educator.
Uh-huh. Yeah, we got quotes all the way up to $180,000 for one.
Okay, I'm just curious. And for about $60,000 less than this. Uh-huh. And it's roughly the same amount of money that we do with the county. So that's why I was asking. It just seemed a bit much.
But we had to select from the vendors that.
I just was asking.
It's an increase of $24,000.
But we also did some, we reviewed and did checked references and stuff, and this company came very highly recommended.
I was just so asking. It was just
I think we'll be
pretty sure. It's
your recommendation, huh? I was just asking.
All right.
Then I'll make the motion.
I'll second it.
Moved and properly second. All those in favor, please say aye.
Aye.
Opposed, nay. Ayes have it. Both approved. Okay. Budget amendments. David?
I don't have anything for you, really, except to tell you that these are all
in our package.
These are revenues that we've had come in that we've had to adjust the budget for to address. So,
all basically pass through ones I saw, right? Mm-hmm. Any questions about any of those in particular? No questions? What is your pleasure?
So I'll move. Make a motion. Approve
Commissioner
it.
Trent, Commissioner Robinson, second. All those in favor of approval of the budget amendments, please say aye. Those opposed, please like a sign. Hearing none, approved budget amendments. Great. All right. Now we're going on to our discussion agenda. We have and this is a matter, one that I'm going to turn over to you because this is one that Michael and I have to recuse ourselves from. So I would leave that in your hands.
Yes, sir. As the chairman mentioned at the beginning of the meeting, I received this letter from the chairman in his role as president and executive director of Partners for Bertie County Public Schools Incorporated. And it's the 501c3 that will be building the teacher housing project in Windsor. And the request is that this project be exempt or not charged for permitting and inspection fees associated with this project.
Okay.
I'll make the motion, Mr. Manager, that we accept the recommendation coming from the manager that we waive all costs of permit, inspection, and fees from the county.
Yes, I'll second it.
Okay.
All in favor?
We got a first and a second, a motion and a second. All in favor?
Aye.
All opposed? Okay. Pat, thank you.
You are very much. That's important for us. And let me just give a brief update. We are there. We have a contract. Contract is being reviewed by legal. We hope to have all of the pre-closing documents completed by the end of this week. We hope to be in closing by the end of the month and breaking ground by the 1st of June.
June 1. Great job.
Great work. And
great job, man. They need it. Man. They need the housing.
Yeah, we do indeed. We do indeed. All right. Next is the manager's budget presentation, May 22nd. That's the date, right?
Yes, sir. So I am slated to present my recommended budget before the Board of Commissioners and the citizens of Bertie County on May 22nd. That is a work session that begins at 10 o'clock.
We're going to have that here?
Yes, the schedule includes it being here.
Okay.
Yes, sir. Moving on, if I may, Chairman,
please.
To number three, we have a budget public hearing scheduled for June 6th. And of course, that after the budget is presented, recommended budget is presented, of course, general statute requires that we keep a copy in the clerk's office for inspection by the public. But we also offer a public hearing where we allow the public to come and provide any feedback that they have on the budget. And of course, if there is no feedback, sometimes the board goes ahead and approves the budget. However, if there is feedback, we usually take that feedback into consideration. And at the following meeting later that month is when it's actually approved. So that being said, between those two dates of May 22nd and June 6th, the board usually sets aside a few dates, 2 to 3, depending on what the needs of the or the desire of the board is. And so at this time, if we can consider going ahead and scheduling some potential work sessions.
Everybody
so that we can
with them.
We schedule some budget work sessions.
We want to go ahead and do that, right?
Yes.
Okay.
And so again,
this is between the 22nd and
yes.
June 6th.
Correct.
Okay, we got a holiday somewhere in here, right?
Yes, sir. And that would be Memorial Day, which is Monday the 29th.
Okay.
Juan's going to present this on the 22nd, what about that Thursday, the 25th or 26th gives a chance
I'm out
to
of town.
Digest that both days?
Yeah.
Okay. Anything that week at all, John? You up to home pretty much all week?
I got the 23rd, I believe, but I need to check that.
And excuse me, Commissioner, I misspoke. The first Monday in June is actually the 5th, not the 6th. So it's actually June 5th.
June 5th. Okay.
Yes.
Okay.
Okay, so you have the Tuesday then on the day after. I can't be there on the Tuesday because we have a closing the digital divide presentation, and I know I'm required to be there as coach.
And we got a work session on the 22nd, correct?
That's correct.
Yeah. Okay, yeah. And I got to meet an engineer at 3 o'clock.
So what about the following week on the Monday the 30th?
Tuesday the 30th.
Tuesday the 30th or the 31st. It looks like we need to try to target that week. Gentlemen.
Okay. I got to check my schedule, okay, on that. So I want to
do a doodle poll to us. I mean, does everybody?
Yeah, can we do that? Because I really need to get.
Okay.
How many days are we trying to get? I think we need at least 2 days, maybe.
I agree.
At least two.
No, I agree.
So
you could do the poll for that whole week, the 30th, which is Tuesday through Friday, to try to give us 2 days there. Okay.
And you said the holiday starts when? Because it's not on the
29th.
Yes.
Yeah, see, I'm supposed to go out of town.
Okay. So,
24th.
Yeah. And we do have commissioners meeting on the 5th.
Correct.
So we could also leverage that time too, right? I mean, no, you're doing, oh, the public hearing is on the 5th, not
correct.
The 6th.
Okay, correct.
I got you. So that we got to do it that week then, Jim. So we need at least two dates. Just keep that in mind. Get it out as soon as we can so we can lock
wait,
in.
Wait, say that again. The public hearing is the 6th.
I'm sorry. Fifth. I misspoke. It's June 5th. It's on a Monday.
Monday.
It's
fifth.
Okay, what time? 6 o'clock?
That's correct. It's on the Monday. So this is wrong. We need to put 5th here instead of 6th.
That's correct.
Okay.
So that means, Mike, if we want to get 2 days, we've got to get them in that prior week between the 30th and the 2nd.
Let me ask you a question. We got a work session on the 22nd. Can we put it for the 23rd also?
I can't be here on the 23rd. I'd have that digital divide thing. I don't know if anybody else is going, but I have to be there. So I mean, that's my only problem.
Okay.
That date. I could do the next day, the 24th. But you said
I need to get back and let you know.
Okay.
I know I'm scheduled to go out of town right in that area. Okay. And
well, put those days on the 23rd and through the 26th and the other days too.
See, I'll be out of town 23rd, 24th mm-hmm. for Legislature's Day.
Okay.
Right.
That's 3 days, right?
Is
there.
That, are we, what? Oh, let me take it off my calendar right now.
It looks like maybe we have the 26th.
Oh, good.
Conflicts on the 24th and 25th.
Well, I'm going out of town, if I'm not mistaken. It's either the 24th or the 25th, all the way through.
All the way through.
Yeah.
Okay. We're back to that week.
Correct. So what from what I'm hearing, we have for consideration Tuesday through Friday being May 30th through Friday, June 2nd.
Yeah.
I can't be there that Thursday. Don't let that stop you. You can still do it on the 1st if you need to.
No, you need everybody to be there to cut that mic.
I can't do it on
Thursday. No, we just locked
I'm just
day. No, we just missed that day. Budget series, we need everybody there on budget. That's just
missing. What if we did it like June 2nd? It's Friday.
Like I said, if he'll do the doodle poll for all of those days, see what we got.
Yeah, so let's do that. Can we do that? Just do a poll and then we can come back. At least I know, you know.
Yeah, he'll tell us the results.
Sure.
But we're looking for 2 days.
Yes, sir.
Okay, great. All right. Thank you. Commissioner reports?
Well, one report I have, we may want to keep an eye on the healthcare with SEMA versus Blue Cross and Blue Shield. You know, see which one wins the court case and which one wins the court case and be our provider for the employees. And they may bring a larger, they may pay more for benefit wise than what they're receiving now. SEMA right now, I think they have the case won, but Blue Cross, Blue Shield held them in court. So, just have that very long. My attorney, you have any information on that?
No, it exists.
Okay. Okay. I understand.
Thank you, Ms. Ross. Mr. Trump.
One thing I've got is Saturday, I announced that I would not be seeking re-election in 2024. Okay. And thank everybody for the time. We've got a year and a half with each other still. Still got a long time.
John and I came in together. It looks like we're going out together.
One way or the other.
Commissioner White?
I don't have anything.
Okay. Commissioner Bauer?
No.
Okay. I just, one thing, did get a chance to go and represent Bertie County at the district meeting last Friday, again, 6 counties, Hertford, Gates, Martin, Washington, Bertie, and Terrell. It's interesting. Got a chance to talk to all the commissioners about what they were planning on their budgets. Talk to y'all individually about that. I won't put that on the record what anybody else is planning to do. Let them announce that. But there are challenges all over the district, okay? It's going to be a tough year going forward as we all see it. But we also did get some information on some of the legislation.
one of the things I wanted to say to you is when Robin and I went to see Senator Hanek in Raleigh, when we got there, we presented our five top priorities, right? He had the chairs of every committee that handled one of those priorities, and all five of our priorities went to that committee. So we made the crossover day, all of ours in it. Doesn't mean that they're coming out, but at least they get their in. Right. It will be considered, but put forward as a bill, and we'll see what we get. Also, Robin has some very good information about housing that we all need to take a look at, and for our district to see what qualifies, because really, I believe that this gives extra incentive from the state and a new initiative around funding housing, right? And housing at all levels, not just low-income housing, but workforce housing, et cetera. So there's some new money that's going to be put out there. First part of the money is about getting it together, you know, development of the ask, right? So I think we definitely need to take advantage of it. Housing is one of our big deals. We need to be all over that, okay? But each one of those things that we had on our top five went to committee. I've been here 11 years. We've never had that happen. So that's a big deal. Okay. That's all for me.
Now, I would like to say that Senator Steinberg had a lot to do with getting all that put together.
An awful lot.
Okay.
No question about it.
You know,
that investment, and as a lobbyist, it's
paid. Absolutely. Off. As I said, who has control of the House and Senate? That's who we need to be giving them. Yeah. So,
I do. County manager's report? County attorney's report?
No, sir.
Okay. public comments. Any additional public comments? Chandra, do we have anything? Or okay, hearing nothing. We do have some matters in closed session that we want to attend to. So if I need a motion to go into closed session.
I'll make it.
Commissioner Balance, or a second?
Second.
Trent or Robinson? All those in favor of going to closed session, please say aye. Opposed, nay. Ayes have it. All right. Great. Thank you very much. And welcome back, citizens who are still on the phone with us. Nothing to report from our closed session. Do we have a motion to adjourn?
I'll make a motion to
adjourn.
Commissioner Trent, second by Commissioner Robinson. All those in favor of adjourning the meeting, say aye.
Aye.
All those opposed, nay. Aye. The meeting is adjourned. Thank you.